2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now let's don't have anybody else moving out, moving up, moving around. Just keep your seats there. A little bit too much coming in and out during church this morning, and so you don't need to be doing that. Get your seat and stay there. Stay there during the service. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You don't have anything more important to talk about than what you're going to hear right now. I can't wait, so you listen real carefully. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. That's a word I'm going to be using this morning, that word comfort. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I'd like to preach to you for a little while this morning on the subject, how God comforts His children. How God comforts His children. I don't know if some of you realize this or not, but there are people sitting within 20 feet of most of you right now that's having maybe some of the worst times of their life. And I know these people. Sometimes people come to our church and, well, they see us all, everybody's dressed up, they see the choir singing, they see everything, and so, boy, those people have got it made, they're in a nice church, they're happy, they're serving God, and all that's true, but I know the people in here, and I know the burdens you carry. I know what's going on here in this room, here this morning. I've talked with some of you recently, told me about all the burdens and problems that you had. There's especially a lady here we talked to the other night on visitation. There's others that's here this morning. Just lost a family member. They're going through a rough time. And a lot of times, preachers and churches forget that. We think that all you do on Sunday morning is get up here and just bless everybody out for everything wrong they've done. And that is my job, but that's not all my job. My job is to comfort those who are going through troubles and different problems. And I'm telling you, folks, there's never been a time when we need comfort from God like we do today. Every Christian comes to the place in life where they need to be comforted. Somebody dies in your family. You get to the point where you're not able to pay your bills. You try and try and try and try, and it seems like everything just blows up and falls apart. And you just about when you're about ready to get ahead and you think everything's going good, blam, something else breaks, your pump goes out, or your transmission goes out of your car. One of the kids gets sick. You know what I'm talking about? That's life. You can forget it if you think you're going to go through this life and not have no problem. You can forget that. You're living in a dream world. This life is full of sorrow. It's a veil of tears. But thank God this morning there is still in heaven a God that comforts His children. I believe that this morning I wouldn't be standing in front of you. I believe God's out there, don't you? I believe He's up there on His throne. I believe God's still alive this morning. I believe He's still real and still willing to help those that put their faith and trust in Him. I want to give you 5 ways that God comforts His children this morning. And I hope that maybe God will use this message to be an encouragement to you. I'd like to be an encouragement to you that are going through problems. Number 1, He comforts His children through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You study the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you see all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how that the Lord went around, He's always doing stuff for other people. God used the Lord Jesus to comfort other people. In Mark chapter 4, you don't have to turn to these, but there was a man there, the Bible said, had a withered hand. This man did not have use of that hand. Maybe his other hand was maybe normal, but this one was like this. Can you imagine just that? That don't sound like a whole lot, but can you imagine, you know, I've hurt my thumb before, maybe hurt one of your fingers, and you don't realize just how much you use that thumb till you can't use it. Does that ever happen to you? Every time you reach for something, well, you think, well, my goodness, I can't do nothing without that thumb. You're almost handicapped just to the loss of a finger. And you do bunches of little things that hurts when that sore thumb is you. Well, you think about maybe being without one of your hands. This man here was in the synagogue on a Sabbath day, and there was a lot of real religious Pharisees standing around there wondering what the Lord was going to do. Matter of fact, they were going to criticize him if he healed that man on the Sabbath day, because they had become so self-righteous that they thought healing was a work. And if you worked, you were healing, that you were working on the Sabbath. And the Lord blew their mind when he said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Boy, that was a statement, wasn't it? The Lord said, "My Father works on the Sabbath, and I am too." My, but that blew their mind. But the Lord, he could have said, "Well, I'm going to succumb to these Pharisees. I'm going to do what these religious people think I should do, or I'm going to help this man that needs help." One thing I love about the Lord Jesus Christ, one thing I appreciate about God so much, he's not interested in the opinion that the religious world has about him. He'll walk right by 50 religious people to help one person with a bleeding heart. The Lord will walk right by 50 people that think they're it to help one person who's down and out and with all their problems. The Lord will drive right by 50 rich people to help one poor man out of a ditch. I'll never forget that night after the youth rally. I picked up, matter of fact, two drunks right down the street here. One of them took him home. Him and his girlfriend or something got in a big fight, and she'd throwed him out or something like that. And then I went down the road, picked up another. He told me, he said, "Danny, yous wouldn't have me up there at that church." I said, "We would too." He said, "You wouldn't let somebody like me come in there." I said, "You walk in there and see if we wouldn't." Listen, we ain't no better than you are. There's nobody else. Isn't that right? Hey, brother, we better be careful. That religious crowd looked at him. They said, "Oh, you mean you're going to help this man?" And the Lord said, "You better believe I'm going to help him." He said, "Stick your hand out there." And his hand became whole as the other. He was stretched forth and he became whole. I heard about many years ago, there's a great preacher named Elisha Hoffman. And Elisha Hoffman was a pastor in Pennsylvania. And this lady come to him, and she had all kinds of problems and troubles and trials and burdens. And he said, "Lady, you got so many problems, I don't know what to tell you to do." And she kind of looked down and she just said, "I must just tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus." And Elisha Hoffman took those words out of her mouth, wrote that famous hymn, "I must tell Jesus all of my problems. I cannot bear these burdens alone." Now, if I could give you any advice this morning, friends, it would be this. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. "I must tell Jesus. He can help me. Jesus alone. He can still the storms on the lake there when they were afraid. He can help the maniac of Gadara when he had nobody else to help him. He can do it. He can do it." I heard about this man, read about, who was an artist in Paris. He was a real famous artist. He's always painting famous pictures. And his thing was painting real high society women. He'd make these big paintings where these women had on these evening gowns, and they had on them hats, and they had on everything to make them look real fancy. And he done that for a long time. And one day he said he had a different thought. He said it's like maybe the Lord or something put the thought in his mind. He painted an old run-down shack, and he painted a house just falling apart. Inside that shack was a man and a woman. The man was sitting down, maybe with his head in his hands like this. The woman was broken in despair, and everything was shabby. There was no food. There was no heat, maybe. Everything is just a pitiful situation. And over in the corner of that picture, he painted a man sitting there in the other chair with scars in his hands. And the man had a crown on his head. And he was looking at this couple who was broken down. He was looking at this couple who was having problems. And the problem that they were having. And the man titled this painting, "Christ the Consoler." And what he was trying to say was, when you're going through your darkest trial, when you're going through your worst problem, when you're sitting there in the house and they cut the electricity off, or you don't have anything to eat and you can't pay your bills and you're wondering what in the world's gone wrong, thank God you might not can see him, but sitting over here on the other side of the room is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
And he's sitting there saying, I'm here to hold your hand through this thing. I'm here to bless. Brother, you may have not ever been through no burdens, but brother, I have. And thank God, that's a blessing to me to know that in my dark trouble and in those deep hours across the room, that's the one that can really help me when I'm going through problems. He comforts us through the work of the Lord. You remember when Lazarus died? Over in John chapter 11. They didn't come to the Lord and they didn't say, Lord, he who lovest thou is sick. They said, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. They knew that the Lord hey, how do you think people wrote the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus? How do you think people wrote the song, No One Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus? The Lord comforts us. And I believe that every one of those stories in those Gospels are there for a reason. And if you can see yourself and your problems in one of those stories, you say, well, Brother Danny, I've sinned. What am I going to do? Get your comfort from the Lord, friend. You know what? They brought a woman, that man, to Jesus one day in the act of adultery. She was ashamed laying there on the ground. And the Lord said, neither do I condemn thee. He forgave her, said, go and sin no more. Amen. You can't beat that for comfort when you need a comforting hand. Number two, the Lord comforts us through the work of the Holy Ghost. I thank God this morning in John 15:26, He talks about the Comforter being come. Matter of fact, that's the name He calls the Holy Spirit, is the Comforter. I don't believe He'd ever call Him the Comforter if me and you didn't need comforting once in a while. I'm glad that in the wee hours of the morning, when nobody knows what you're going through, when you're driving down the road and tears begin to swell up in your eyes, or when you're standing at the graveside of a loved one whom you'll never see again on the face of this earth, I'm glad that when the light bill comes in and you don't have the money to pay it, or you go to the refrigerator and there's no milk, or you find out some terrible, the doctor shakes his head and says it's bad. I'm glad that during those dark, deep hours, that there's always a voice starts talking to you inside and says, don't worry about a thing. Everything's going to be all right. You're my child. You belong to me. He comforts us through the work of the Holy Ghost. You ever had that happen to you? Buddy, I have. There's a fellow long, many, many years ago who was engaged to this lovely young lady. They was going to be married. And he found out that he's going blind. And he didn't want to tell her because he thought it would ruin the marriage plans. Finally, he sat down and told her. He said, I hate to tell you this, honey, but I'm going blind. I'm losing my sight. And I didn't want you to know it because I didn't think you'd marry me if you found it out. Sure enough, she said, I can't marry a blind man. I won't marry you. It's off. Because you're losing your sight, I won't marry you. His dreams were shattered. He's almost at the point of suicide. And then the voice inside of him got to talking. And something said, hey, I'll still take you. You might be going blind, but that don't make no difference to me. You know what? People accept us or don't accept us based on what we are, what we do, how we look, how good we can perform a job, how good looking you are, how pretty you are, or how much money you got. That's the way people are. People say, hey, if you got money, I'll be your friend. If you got a nice car, yeah, I'll go riding around with you. Yeah, if you got this, I got that. But God is not like that. He says, I don't care if you smell bad. I don't care if you look bad. I don't care if you are bad. It makes no difference to me. His love is unconditional. That fellow sat down and wrote that great song, Oh Love That Will Not Let Me Go. I'm glad to report to you this morning that I've been saved over 21 years now. There's been times when my heart felt far away from God. There's been times when I felt like, brother, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do next. There's been times when I felt like my Christian brothers and sisters had turned their back on me. There's been times when I've been hurt and let down. But blessed be His name, there's never been a day went by when that voice wasn't on the inside. Hallelujah to God, saying, Danny, everything's going to be all right. You're mine. I'm yours. He comforts us through the work of the Holy Ghost. If you're really saved, you know what I'm talking about. Boy, I'm glad He talks to me once in a while. Yeah, I don't hear it with this voice here, but it's a voice inside here. Listen, they may not be five people come up and tell me I preached good this morning, and I tell you it's lying to death. But I tell you what, brother, I tell you what, if I can go home this evening and he whispers in my ear and says, I like that. That's fine with me right there. That's all the payday I need right there. Hey, if the Lord says, you're all right, I'd rather hear the Lord say that than anything anybody ever said. When people tell you stuff, you don't even really know what they're up to. They liable to be after something. But boy, when the Lord speaks to you and says, you're all right, everything's fine, He comforts you. In Genesis 24, you know the great story there when Isaac sent his, Abraham sent his servant after the bride. Abraham in Genesis 24 is a picture of God the Father. Isaac, a picture of God the Son. Eliezer, the servant, is a picture of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost's job is to come into this world, get a bride, and lead that bride back home to the Father, Jesus Christ, His Son. Right? You know what? I'm glad He didn't just get Rebecca out there and say, hey, Becca, will you marry Isaac? Yeah. Okay, I'll tell you where he lives. He lives well yonder in somewhere, Mesopotamia or somewhere, and I'll give you a map. I'll see you when you get there. I'm glad he didn't do that. He put her on a camel. He hooked that camel to his camel. And he said, I'm going to lead you every step of the way. And I'm not going to leave you till you get to where your husband is. Now, whether you know this or not, brother, when the Lord saved you, the Holy Ghost came in your heart, and He's going to lead you home to heaven. It's going to happen. We're going to step on them gold streets. We're going to walk in those mansions. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us till we walk in them pearly gates one of these days. Number three, He comforts us through His Word. When you need a comforting thing, the Lord said in John 16 about the Word of God, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Thousands of Christians in the dark hours of the morning have been comforted in His Word. You know those songs? Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Life here is grand with friends I love so near. We get along in sweet accord. But when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? And I want to tell you what one of the good parts is about being a Christian. One of the good parts in it is about being a Christian, and some of you have been through this, and I'm going to talk plain to you now. There's people sitting right here in front of me this morning who is going through a separation or a divorce. Nobody in this world knows how bad that hurts, except people that's been through it. It's just like when somebody dies. You don't really know what it's like to have a family member die until one of yours dies. Oh, there's nothing like it. You don't know. I can't imagine what it'd be like for a doctor to tell me I had cancer. You know, it's spreading. No, I can't imagine. That's never happened to me. But I know a lot of people that it has happened to. And I'm telling you this morning, brother, if we can take God's Word on our little problems, we can take God's Word on our big problems. You can get that old book down. That same old book that D.L. Moody and Finney and Spurgeon, that same book with the same words in it. And open up that thing and get down and say, oh God, brother, you start flipping through them Psalms. And you start flipping through those Lamentations and the book of Jeremiah and all of those things. And it won't be long till the Lord said, I'll put a bomb on you. I'll patch it up. I'll fix it. I'll console you. I'll keep you under my wings. Now, nothing will comfort you like the Word of God will. Nothing will. Nothing will. I've seen old folks, listen, when you go into a rest home and people's laying there dying, it's not Playboy they got laying beside their bed. It's that Bible right there. I've seen them old people sitting in them wheelchairs and have it marked and marked and marked and marked with their finger on those verses. Well, that's what will get you through the hard times. That's what will get you through. Heard about one that was died and buried at night and been in prison a long time. Been sick in prison. They found him dead. They found this Christian's finger on Matthew 11:28. It said, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He comforts us through His Word. Number four, He comforts us through His children, through other brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a real blessing this morning to have brothers and sisters in Christ to turn to. I'll never forget, a few years ago, 1990, my sister died of cancer on the 4th of July. I think that was on Wednesday. I believe it was Wednesday morning. She passed away. Of course, we had church that night. And I remember so many of you came up and you said, Brother Daniel, we appreciate you. Anything we can do to help you, let us know. Come around, set up there around in the yard and brought food. 6 months later, Daddy died with a heart attack. And that was on Sunday afternoon. I had church that night. I was back here at church that Sunday night. And just everybody. I know y'all couldn't even enjoy the service that night for watching me and thinking, his dad passed away and all that. And that's a blessing. It comforts somebody when somebody just comes over to their house. Said, I know you've been through a hard time. And I just want you to know I'm your friend. I'll be here for you. If you need anything, call. Brother, I'm convinced that God comforts His children through other Christians. Through other Christians. I told you one night, I come back from down Hickory somewhere. Service wasn't going too good. And I'm a type of person that's so headstrong, I hardly ever get discouraged. Hardly ever. I mean, I'm crazy. If I think it's going to rain, the sun can be 10,000 degrees and the sky blue, but if I believe it's going to rain hard enough, I ain't got a doubt about it. I'm crazy. But once in a blue moon, I think, good night, I don't know if I can handle this. And I've been like that a few times in my life. And one night it hit me like that. And I've been down off to Taylorsville somewhere preaching. The service wasn't going good. And I had problems and burdens. And it started building up on me. And I've always been the type of person, I think, well, I can handle this. There's been people handle worse. But it really got to bother me that night. Real bad. Real bad. I thought I was just going to break. And I thought, I'm going to fly apart here if something don't give. And you know how a man is. First thing hits your mouth, I say, well, go talk to somebody. I don't need nobody. I can make it through this. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. But I want to tell you something. No matter how big you are, no matter how strong you are, there comes times in every Christian life when they need another shoulder to lean on. Boys, don't be too big and stubborn and proud to go cry on another's shoulder sometime and say, pray for me, I'm going through the fire. Don't mean you're a sissy. I drove over to Brother Dale Cable's house. This is back 7 or 8 years ago. Knocked on his door. He came to the door. I said, Brother Dale, can I come in? He looked at me like something wrong with me. And I just started pouring my guts out. And I just started, it's like puking, you know. I hear it all kind. Brother Dale, you know how he is. He don't talk much. He just say, yeah. Yeah, pray with him, help. And boy, I left there, I just felt like that big burden was gone. He didn't really. That's why a lot of my counseling, all I'm doing is just letting somebody dump it on me. They'll talk 45 minutes, I'll talk 1 minute. When I get through, they say, boy, Brother Daniel, you really helped me. And all I'm doing is just letting them unload. Brother, you need somebody, a brother and sister in Christ, to comfort you every now and then. Take heart. Somebody put their arm around you and say, hey, I appreciate you. That's what, by the way, we don't have enough of that going on around here. A lot of times, you take for granted Brother John will always be here leading this choir. You take for granted these musicians will be always up here playing. You take for granted these lights will always be on. The air conditioner will be working, or at least part of it. You take for granted that they always think. Sometimes it'd be a good idea to just say, hey, I want you to know I appreciate what you're doing for the Lord. And the Lord used you to comfort somebody else. Number five, this is last. And this is the one I like. He comforts us through the promise of the second coming. Now I'm telling you what, brother, when I get down and out and I get burdened and I think, oh Lord, is it never going to get no better? Something says, it sure is, dummy. If you'll just hold your horses a little bit, it's going to get a lot better. Somebody told me not long ago, they said, I just don't think it's ever going to get no better. Hey, let me tell you something. If you're saved, it's going to get better. There's going to be a trumpet sound. You're going to hear your name called. You're leaving out of here in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. You're going up through the sky. And brother, after you face the judgment seat of Christ, it's all over but the shouting. It'll be worth it all. Maybe we'll sing that before we go. Oft times the day seems long and trials are hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to take us all away or something like that. It'll be worth it all when the Lord comes back. Heart attacks, heartaches, toothaches, backaches, feet aches. No more of those kind of things. No more having to worry about your doctor bills and how you're going to pay them and your insurance and your taxes and you keep that old car running. And no more worrying about the kids and the grandkids and the bills and prices going up and what are we going to do and how are we going to get our kids straightened out. Brother, it'll all be over when the Lord comes back. Guess what? That could happen today. Now, will that comfort you or will that comfort you? They said when the Titanic went down, you know that thing, I think, well, it was built in Belfast, Ireland. Or at least a lot of men helped there, and they called it the unsinkable ship. Men stood up in Ireland and said that boat cannot go down. It's unsinkable. Put it in newspapers and everything. Well, of course, it did sink. That iceberg caught that thing, busted that big hole in the side of that thing, ripped it open like a can opener, and all that water poured in there, and there went that big old boat going down. And all their hopes and dreams that they had in that ship was perished. And they said that the mayor of Belfast said, I never saw such grief. Strong, grown men were standing on the street corners with their hands clasped, crying, wasn't able to say a word, never spoke. That Sunday afternoon, a local or American pastor was there in that locality. He preached to a packed house of widows and orphans. People that had died went down on that ship. They packed in that church house that Sunday afternoon, and he preached on the only real, unsinkable ship. The ship of Zion. And he said, all your hopes has been lost in the Titanic. I know that. But let me tell you about a ship you can get on that you don't have to worry about sinking. That's comforting, man. That's comforting. It really is. Y'all, that's comforting. When you think that you're on a ship that's never going to go down no matter what, you say, preacher, sometimes I just feel like I'm losing my faith. Sometimes I just wonder about everything. I don't even know if all this is real or not. Listen, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He's going to get you through one way or the other. You know what I'd like for you to do this morning? Whatever your problem or burden is, it might be something that you ain't even talked to nobody about. It might be something that nobody knows about, just you and the Lord. You know what I'd like to encourage you to do? Let Him comfort you. He's the God of all comfort. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head's bowed. Every eye's closed. Sister sang that song a while ago that said, I do not know how others make it through. I've thought about that a lot. I don't know how people face the problems they go through without the Lord. They turn to something. You'll turn to a liquor bottle, or you'll turn to a drug, or suicide, or something. You can't stand them problems alone. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Let me tell you this morning, friend, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how much you messed up, no matter how hard your heart's been, there's a friend right here at this altar this morning that wants to help you. Why don't you let Him? Dear God in heaven, I pray that we wouldn't run from You like Adam and Eve did there in the garden.
I pray we'd run to you. You said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. We know there's people here this morning carrying a heavy load. Lord, I know many, many here this morning. I know the burdens that they have. Y'all just come on right now. Just come on. While we sing, just come on right now. Amen. That's right.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Amen. That's right. Come right now. Come. Come. Just come out. Get out of your seat.
Grace to
bear. Everybody sing it.
What
a privilege. Come on right now.
Everything to God in prayer.
Come on, while we sing. While we sing, come right now.
Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere?
Come on! He comforts you this morning. Comfort you this morning,
we
my friend.
Sure
can. Come on. Come on. The Lord can comfort you this morning. He can help you. He can help you today. Come and let Him. Come on. Come on and let Him right now. Just move out of your seat and let Him help you. Just come on to Jesus. Amen. Come on. Come on, young people. Come on, mamas, daddies. You won't find a friend no more faithful than Jesus. Come on, my friend.
Jesus knows our every
weakness. Yes, He does.
Take into the morning prayer.
Sing another one. Everybody, let's sing now. Come, keep coming, keep coming. Lord, help you this morning.
Take into the Lord in prayer.
Let the Lord help you this morning.
Do
not
friends despise, forsake
you. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord.
Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Amen. Hallelujah. To us this morning.
What
a friend we have in Jesus.
We have in Jesus. All
yes.
Our sins and
Amen.
Griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God.
I'll sing the chorus now.
Oh, what peace we often
think about it. What peace we often forfeit.
What
needless pain we bear. Amen. Amen. Come on.
Because
we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
guys, please, are still, some still praying this morning. You just remember this. No matter what your burden is, you can take it to the Lord. A lot of times we judge the Lord by what people do. We say, well, people won't have nothing to do with me, so God won't. That's not true, brother. God's a lot more merciful than people are. If He wasn't, ain't none of us would be here. He'd have wiped me off the face of the earth a long time ago. Wouldn't He, you? Ain't no use acting like you're some big shot. You know what a big shot is? It's a little shot that ought to be shot. That's right. ain't no big shots in God's sight. Thank God for His mercy. We're going to have choir practice at 6 o'clock this evening. And we want everybody, like I said, get back there and get signed up for the little kids camp. Everybody's going on the Alabama trip. We need a couple of adults to go with us. We're going to have a meeting this tonight after the service. So make your plans to do that. Okay? God bless you. You're at liberty to go.